Hello, and welcome to episode 268 of Muse on Minis.
Musing and amusing.
This is Chad, and I play Trolls.
Nigel, and I play Kador.
This is John, and I play Protector of Menoth slash...
You're going to play a lot
reputation.
Of cock, because
slash cock.
Word on the street is you're getting all the cock after lock and load.
Oh, well, then I'm 100% playing conversions. Mm-hmm. Yep.
This is Crump, and I play Reaper.
This is Keith, and I have most recently played Mercenaries.
I thought he was going to say Mercy.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Oh, my God. Is it Bart Galleon?
I did play some Bart today.
Surprising.
I was actually, like, cheerful that he was like, and I play Mercy, and I'm like, oh, it's happening. And then he was a jerk.
But thanks. Before that, I played Kador, and Karchev's legit.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
Karchev is illegitimate.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I'm the most experienced Kador player in the new edition on the podcast.
That's true.
Is he like Kara Sloan legitimate?
Yeah, exactly. If you're playing against Kara Sloan, what would you have done?
Probably died.
Died in a fire on the
on the top of one.
What?
Yeah.
He couldn't hide it behind like three juggernauts.
Yeah, and then they all die, and then he dirtles across
the
table.
The game.
Yeah.
And then he gets there, and then he double 10-inch AOE sprays her face with knockdown.
That sounds real.
He is legit.
Yeah.
Are you sure it's him that's legit and not just
the
eight Kador and Jax that are amazing now?
So the big red machine is actually a thing now, huh?
Yeah. Well, that's my theory.
Well, his feat is off the chain.
It's just...
Isn't it unearthly rage?
It's unearthly rage only one time, which would have been off the chain every turn.
But instead, I mean, there is some trade-off because it's coming for free. So you get it. You get to wash three more focus through the feat, which is effectively each focus turns into three.
Mm-hmm.
Do you Colden Lords still have Power Booster?
They do not.
No, we're getting a new guy. In the next book, though,
that has it. Interesting.
Hmm.
So
maybe.
We've seen it. Like,
no, that was confirmed, actually, on the forums. But, yeah, I figure we can talk about, just kind of repeat the thing. So that way, because we have five different perspectives, five different factions to talk about, and maybe even more. But we can sort of just, like, you know, John's excited about Menoth. We can just, what is he like and dislike that he's seen so far? Same thing with Crump and Chad and Keith,
yep.
Et cetera. And that way, we're kind of getting a little bit of a peek into each faction, kind of spreading the love around so that any one person... Doesn't, you know, if you're a Timberwolf fan, you'll get a little bit of Timberwolves, but then you'll have to hear the Bulls and then the Spurs and so on and so on.
Is it weird that I'm not excited about Mark III, mostly because of Overwatch?
Yeah, a little, because they're not really related in any way.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But like, one's way more entertaining and occupies all my time.
Mm-hmm. It's okay, it's a new Precious,
it's
I get it.
Not really weird, because you're distracted by shiny things all the time, and it'll pass. You'll be back.
No, it's just one of the games is balanced.
Ooh.
Well designed.
Shnikes.
Shots fired. Is that how you actually feel?
The more I think about it, yeah. Which is
why
weird.
So?
Because, like, on this... It's weird. So I think I might have mentioned this on the cast, but the first set I looked through was Legion, and I was super excited about Mark III because almost everything seemed to have a purpose, and nothing was blatantly, on paper, overpowered. And then I looked at Signar next, and I got super sad about Mark III. But, like, as I start to think about not just, like, the on-paper surface level of the stuff, but, like, model interactions within faction, like, it gets worse. So
I'm very curious about that, because on paper I felt the same way, but, like, the more and more I think about it, the more and more I think that it's probably just a matter of everything is balanced, everything is just different.
Outside of Sloan, I don't think there's any egregious problems in Signar.
Kane 2, maybe.
Only, I don't think the meta permits him to be that.
Yeah, because there's not going to be nearly as much infantry as there used to be.
Maybe so. Yeah.
Have you tried actually making lists yet?
Yeah, a little bit. It's actually really frustrating.
It's like super frustrating.
It's like,
because I don't know. I assume you're approaching it from the same way as I am,
yeah.
And you're trying to make
Mark II lists
exactly.
Yeah.
Which you really can't do.
It's weird because support even feels more expensive in this edition.
Yeah.
And you and I play the two heaviest support factions. So.
Well, all of troll support got more expensive.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
so it is more expensive.
All
and then
protected
on top of,
support got worse. So.
And then on top of that, everything else got cheaper.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's like you're almost kind of asking yourself the question like, well, I could take the support, which I know is really good, but like that's causing me to lose out on this whole unit or whole like beast or whole like something. So it's very frustrating. But then the more and more I think about it, it's because I was talking to a couple of people about this and they're like, God, it's just, they're like, I don't like the smaller lists in Mark III. And I'm like, they're not smaller. And they're like, really? They feel a lot smaller. And that's like, because
You have more jacks.
You're literally forced to take twice as many jacks as you want to, as you had to prior.
And you want to.
And you want to. So it's like, yeah, because I keep making these lists, and it's like, I want 1 to 2 war beasts, like a light and a heavy or whatever, and then I want the rest of my army to be army. Whereas now I'm basically forced to take like 2 heavies.
And then, probably a light too.
And then probably a light. And then my army is going to be proportionally smaller. It's like if you were forced to take 2 heavies and mark 2, your army wouldn't be very big.
Huh.
But so in that light, it feels bad building the list, but then you kind of come through this, you kind of come through the looking glass and you're like, oh, everyone has to do that though.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So maybe it'll be fine.
And then you start thinking about the meta and you start thinking about heavies on heavies and things start to make more sense.
And also things like Banes, which I originally saw and laughed and was just like, wow, they're garbage now. Like nobody's ever going to play these. But then when I think about it, and it's just like, well, if everyone's taking twice as many warjacks and twice as many warbeasts,
yeah, Mark II Banes would just
Banes
own.
Are still going to be just as good. They're just going to have some slight weaknesses. They're mostly weak to shooting units, which are going to not be as many as there used to be
because they won't be as good.
Because they won't, and because they're really only counter Banes.
Yep,
that was actually the problem that I had with Kane. Sure, there will be less infantry, but Kane inherently just says your opponent doesn't get to play with infantry. And then he could just bring anti-armor stuff.
So does Kruger 1.
Yeah, but casters have always... Yeah, I was going to say casters have always done that.
Correct, but Kruger 1 can't kill any caster on, like, any given Sunday by himself.
Kane's assassination is significantly reduced.
I think it's better.
In both threat range, and it's also got fewer shots.
Oh, because you can't take Reinhold and the Squire anymore?
It got one fewer shot, but casters don't overcamp armor anymore.
I don't know. It's the same versus Hordes. It's actually worse versus Hordes.
And he cannot charge friendly models, so he's only 19 inches dangerous.
That's significant.
Which is long. It's long.
It's long, but 19 inches is way easier than 22. So
it's the same dangerous as Krios 1, which is kind of cool. So you can actually just measure it, be 19 and a half away, and then you know, feel safe.
Yeah, and I have not tested any Kane 2 yet. I'm starting from what wasn't as good previously that might be good enough to play now, and looking through some of that, trying to find some gold before I go and look at the stuff that I'm pretty sure is already really good.
I was going to say, you're panning for gold.
One thing I've noticed is in Protectorate particularly, you almost don't even need to take the jack support in a lot of lists at all. Like, vassals are very niche now. They're okay. Like, they power boost, right? Or they empower. Mm-hmm. And then they also have Enlivened, which doesn't work.
I disagree with that strongly.
Yeah, it works fine.
It doesn't work in the way it used to work. It's not as very solvable.
Yeah,
but
instead of getting punched 6 times, you get punched twice. Now.
Which is usually enough to disable the crap out of your jack. So,
But you still have a jack in a repair game.
And repair stuff.
Yeah.
Where it really sucks is if you get charged by 6 Doom Reavers, you're not enlivening away.
That's correct.
Just going to get chopped down.
But I don't think there's going to be as many Doom Reavers.
Yeah, totally.
But I guess my point is, I don't think, without the immunity to free strikes, Enliven is not near the threat that it is, and it doesn't makes the vassal not a worthwhile investment because you have less points for things in general.
I think empower those, but is better.
Is empower just get a focus?
Yeah. And then now you have jacks with 2 focus before they even start.
Yeah, but you're going to pay 4 points for that.
Possibly, depending on what my list is. If I'm trying to wash,
Well, the choir's not near as good either, though. It's only +2 to, like, you're not really washing that focus.
I have multiple lists that have 2 chroniclers. Yeah. The chroniclers are 4 points apiece, and they don't even do anything.
Well, they're FA more than 1 now?
They're 2 now.
Weird.
I don't know why, but they are now.
But a lot of your jacks got +1 mat. They're mat 7 now, right? The Crusader chassis?
A lot of them didn't get +1 mat.
Not all. That's the same.
A few of them did.
But if you take those guys with, like, for instance, you can play Sevi differently now with Eye of Menoth and then power up.
But I mean, I could spend 4 points on a vassal, or I could spend, what's a crusader? I can't remember what the point cost.
Probably like 12.
I think it's 11.
I think they're 10.
Yeah.
What the?
And that guy comes with his own free focus, and he's a crusader.
By the way, looking at the point cost for warjacks compared to warbeast kind of makes you, like, crush every once in a while. I was talking to Nigel about this earlier. I'm like, well, I mean, satyrs, like, lost power and a fury, but their point cost got reduced, like, quite a bit. So, like, a Briphorn satyr is now, like, 14 or 15 points. But, like, Palpal Strength 15 kind of sucks in the heavy v heavy battle. And I was like, yeah, well, I mean, I got, like, Juggernauts for, like, 12. I'm like, oh! Just like, wah! Wah!
I'm actually really worried that they got the balance between Warjacks and Warbeasts, like, way off. But, again, like, this is the thing that we won't be able to know
until
we've played multiple games. Like, you won't even be able to just play one game and be like, yeah, it's fine.
Yep.
Or, yeah, it's bad. Like,
I mean, my battle group games against Kaya 2 have been close.
So that's a good sign.
Relatively.
That's a good sign. Yeah.
What was on the Kaiatu list, roughly?
Three dogs and a goat one time. The other time, four dogs, I think. And various stuff, stones and a wilder and an Argus.
Four moonhounds. Ooh. Bad list.
Like pure blood, feral, stalker, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I thought he was talking about Argus, our guy.
Yeah,
like,
I was too. I was so confused.
Like, what kind of idiot circle player? Yeah. And why is this close? Like, Keith, how bad have you gotten? Like, he's just, these Argus
well,
are run
playing
wild.
Karchev. That was, yeah, that exactly. Was, that was when it was. That's
right,
when
big Karchev. Dogs. Big dogs.
That's when Karchev was good. Was seven heavies versus four Argus.
Yeah.
I do think vassals will make lists in niche circumstances. So, if, like, for example, Amanad Raza, because he has synergy, an empowered focus is worth inherently more.
Yeah,
and he both has a strong desire to have additional focus, and
I would, yeah,
can make use of enliven.
I was getting there.
Gotcha.
But, yeah, but yeah. So he actually makes vassals work very well.
I understand that it's certainly worse than it was, but it's still a matter of like Crump said, you know, taking two attacks versus taking like five attacks on a lot of jacks. Like you can make jacks that can survive two attacks, you know, especially with Defender's Ward and with Arm 21 base jacks.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, but the thing with Enliven is it's hard enough to get off as it is. So in a lot of games, people have a lot of ways to stop it from happening. So I'm already facing an uphill battle. And then my payoff for investing a lot of time and effort to get Enliven to go off is getting charged twice. And so, like, that's a lot of damage for 4 points. When just for a few more points, I can have a whole other jack. It doesn't seem like the payoff is there unless you have, like, an Amanad Raza.
Do you see yourself making those actual changes in your lists, though?
Yeah, I see myself playing lists with almost no vassals, and I see myself actually considering Choir, depending on what I'm doing with the list.
Now, you're aware that power-ups changed in that you can stack it on one thing, right? So you could go...
Yeah,
okay,
totally
so can,
aware.
Okay, so I was just asking, because you can have the Jack Marshall running a Redeemer under Krios, and then having those two give it two focus, so then you knock down its POW 16 or whatever it gets up to when it's got its Jack Marshall super buff. Like, I don't know, I feel like that's some...
Again, that's a niche circumstance.
But
like,
that's what I look for, you know.
Yeah,
that's
I know.
Want,
I'm just saying, like, vassals were in every list because they were that good. And I understand why they came down. I'm not complaining in any way. I'm just saying they've become a model that you have to have a specific purpose for, which is fine. There's no problem with that.
Maybe it's just because I'm approaching it from Horde's perspective, but I'm like, God, if I could make it so my Dire Troll Mauler only gets hit twice, like, yes, I'm in.
I don't think my A plan for taking it would be Enliven at all anymore.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
it'd
be power boost and then the situational, Enliven's really good here.
When you realize Enliven's going to be good, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Yep. It's come to me a lot where I've been making lists and then I get down to it and I'm like, oh, I don't have enough points really for what I want, you know, and then that's when you kind of get to fill in like the little gaps and stuff with whatever.
I built a couple lists and I played them against like Joey this past Wednesday, and in list building, just due to how the point system works out, I found myself frequently being like 3 to 4 or 5 points like short, and then like the things that I wanted to add, I couldn't. So I just, like, we built this one list, and I was like, ah, I have 3 points left, and the things that I already had that were decent for 3 points are already in my list. So I guess I'll take like a Feral Geist, and like it was just the garage sale bargain bin of models that were left to just like fill my list up to the full.
That's gonna be something that'll get solved as we get better and more accustomed to building lists, because a lot of it's going to be, oh, I've got these few points left over. I need to switch out this model for either upgrade or downgrade it to move those points around.
See, I didn't have any. I didn't have like.
Might have to put in a Feral instead of a Stalker.
I'm probably never playing Goraxes again, by the way, which is awkward because I own like 4 of them. I'll just give them to my brother so he can play them with Arcadius.
Because Ferals have Primal or what?
Yeah, I was like, you know, because the Gorax just like perma sits back there. And many times in Mark II, like, I'd want, like, a late-game, like, heavy. But I'm just like, all I have is this Gorax. I'm like, I can just pay, like, 8 more points, and then the Gorax is a heavy.
That's kind of how I feel about the Impaler right now. Because I'm like, the Impaler is pretty decent on its own, but, like, I'm never hurting for battle group points like I used to be.
Right.
And just a single POW 14 gun is just not really worth it.
Yeah, because the bombers have snipe now, right? So
yeah. We'll just take a bomber.
Yeah.
And then I can't put snipe on anything else either, which is like the other, you know.
Hey, you can't snipe Madrak.
No, you can't.
Or Pendrake or like name model here.
I guess you can.
You can snipe Madrak.
Yeah.
But you can't snipe like Pendrake or.
You can't snipe Madrak with the Impalers.
But it costs cheaper.
So you get a Pendrake.
Is it only one now?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So you get a Pendrake. Like how that guy got like kicked in the nads?
How did he get kicked in the nads?
Isn't Beastlord just friendly faction now?
I thought it was unchanged.
I'm pretty sure it's friendly factions, though, because I remember reading it and being really angry. Maybe I'm misremembering.
No change for me.
Yeah, I don't think it's any different.
No, I mean, it is faction, but it just doesn't hurt.
Because he's patron Signar.
Maybe we should
partisan, whatever.
That's stupid.
Go around the table and just talk about the things we are excited about.
How about upset about?
The one in each. Pick one of each. We'll start with you, Crump.
Well, I already did this last week.
I know. Okay, we can just do it again.
Pass. I'll pick a different faction of mine and
pick Legion. Okay, it's just like a menu situation. I understand. We'll go to Chad then.
All right, I'm excited about Wrong Eye, and I'm most upset about Wrong Eye.
I agree. I'm actually more upset about Wrong Eye, but whatever.
Yeah, probably more upset about Wrong Eye. So when they showed the Battlebox spoiler cards,
yeah,
it was like a month ago, someone enhanced the photo to the point where they were like, oh, Starcross is on Wrong Eye's card now. Like, yeah. They gave Wrong Eye Starcross for literally no reason that is discernible by man. But okay, whatever. People were like, well, that's pretty interesting because that gives him an interesting choice between having to cast Starcross or being able to submerge. And we were like, okay, all right. So you're probably never going to use Starcross, but like, that's neat. Like that he's got it as an option, you know?
Look at it there on his card. Isn't that cute?
Exactly. And then like, he's never going to use it. He's just going to submerge all the time, but whatever. He might be able to use, you know, whatever. It's neat that he's got it. And then when we saw the Wrong Eye card and we saw that submerge was changed to cost one,
yeah,
and it was just like, what the hell are they thinking? Like, oh my god, he's gonna be in every list.
Yeah. Starcross on a stick is pretty cool.
Starcross on a stick that's like unkillable,
that can't be shot or spelled,
yeah,
like that's just standing in the middle of your army. And they gave Snapjaw a boost in strength. He got a strength, so he's more killy now.
Yeah, he's power 18 now, right?
Yeah,
let's be fair. He lost an inch of reach on the tail.
That's true. Poor guy.
Update, no one cares.
Yeah,
he got way better.
That's like,
I just see that going in a lot of different factions lists. Like
every list.
I'm sure you've thought about this, but sure-footed champions in base to base with Starcross sound miserable to deal with.
Yeah,
just sound absolutely. Yeah, I don't even. Yeah, do not want.
I mean, I was playing a little bit of Bart, and I was like, you know, I think I'm still gonna drop a heavy and put Wrong Eye and Snapjaw on this list because I just need something to go off and do its own thing, so Bart can just ignore one zone. If it's a double zone, and he's perfect, he just does it himself. Because trading, like trying to go get Snapjaw with a heavy, is so dubious with Starcross.
Yeah, it's really frustrating.
It's
only frustrating because it's my, like, Starcross was my thing.
Yeah.
Now everyone's got it.
Well, I don't have it.
Just every Horde's faction, Kricks
and
Mercenaries.
And Mercenaries.
Yeah.
Poor Kador and poor Protectorate and poor Signar.
I mean, kind of, right?
Yeah, I mean, we got effed.
I don't know if Kador could really get that much mileage out of it.
Probably not.
I was thinking like Eris 2 with Kyazi and then having that be Starcross be miserable, but that's about the worst thing I can think of.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, but it's not sure for the champions. Like, yeah. Ugh.
Yeah, because champions get plus defense now, right, when they're in base-to-base?
It's only versus melee, which that pisses me off because it was spoiled on the Insider as they get plus 2 defense when they're in base-to-base, and then when you read the card and it's like plus 2 defense versus melee attacks, that's worse. Which it is. It's still good.
Yeah, because you can conceal him easy with the Chronicler.
Yeah. But like, even so, because then they would be even higher.
But sure-footed champions in base to base against melee attacks are def 18?
16. And then they're def 16 versus guns that don't ignore concealment.
Sorry. Def 16 with Starcrossed is what I was getting at, which is the equivalent of def 18.
Yep. Sure.
I do that math all the time, and I forget that I need to explain
weird
that.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, Starcross is roughly 2.
It's not.
It's 1.8.
It's depends on the defense of the model, actually.
Yeah. I did make the comment that a while back, Starcross is like only sort of fair in trolls because of their inherent low like defense stat. And then I was like, if they could put it anywhere else in the game, where would they put it? I'm like, oh, minions, like with pigs. That makes perfect sense because they're all deaf, terrible, arm terrible. Like they're the same. And I was talking with like a troll player and he's like, well, no, like without the Creel Stone, like troll models have these defensive stats. I'm like, yes, those are pig defensive stats. Like 12-14, that's what they are.
Also, the Creel Stone doesn't modify any defensive stats relevant to Starcross.
To Starcross, right. But, like, and I'm just like, oh, man, yeah, they could put it on pigs. Like, some pig caster could get it. And then they just put it in minions / in every faction. Just like, whoops.
Well, there is a very significant difference between an 8-inch Starcross and a 16-inch Starcross.
No, it's
that's true.
It's really good for catcher's mitts. So, like, things that walk into zones that have to get charged. So, like, champions, Satrati are another ones.
Yeah.
Like you put, I was thinking about Satrati with
Defender's Ward
or even Inviolable Resolve plus Starcrossed plus the Agonizer. Oh, holy crap.
Scorn's garbage. Stop. Yeah. Stop it.
That's true.
That's a pretty good, I mean, you could also put two Sentries with Starcrossed and the Agonizer, like two Sentries and Tiburon.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That sounds miserable to deal with. Like, how do you kill those guys?
Freaking Wrong Eye.
With Carousel.
Pisses me off. Like, mm-hmm. just thinking about, I mean, the upside is just that with lists being so much tighter nowadays, like it is going to be significantly difficult to fit the points in to get him in. But
yeah,
in the lists he's in, he's going to be a mother effer.
Well, he's a pretty easy swap for a heavy in almost every conceivable situation because he is a heavy and quite a good one.
Or even two heavies if you want to do like Wrong Eye with a Wrestler to get Rage on Snapjaw.
Keith, your comment about the Wrestler on Wrong Eye had me super excited as being a Mark player for a fraction of a second, but then I realized that Rage specifies War Beasts in Mark 3.
I didn't say anything about putting a Wrestler on him.
That was me.
It's Chad.
God, you're such a jerk.
I'm sorry. Chad gets the credit. Unfortunately, you can't like Rage Nomads.
I never said I wanted to. I was just like Raging Wrong Eye.
More Nomads?
How 21 Wrong Eye seems, or Snapjaw rather, seems sweet.
Mm-hmm. Well, also, the Wrestler itself is fine.
Yeah.
Particularly if you have Starcrossed. I mean, he's tough 12 days, right?
And if there's like a swamp on the table.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
Is it weird that I might actually just steal my brother's minions for Mark 3? Just play minions.
Over
and
his
he might just give
cold,
it to you.
Dead
yeah,
hands.
I don't think he's interested in minions.
Yeah,
he's
just
right
gonna, I'll be like, hey, can I play minions? He'll be like, okay. Go
I kinda
ahead.
Like, I'm interested to see some of the minions players mix the packs.
Yeah.
And see what comes out of that.
I was super dream crushed when I found, like, they nerfed bone grinders for me personally because they gave them tough. So, like, now grinding them is harder for the tree.
Oh, well, you're also going to use them for Heart Eater.
Yeah. They're still actually amazing at grinding each other because they have Grievous Wounds, so they're still equally good.
Yeah.
Like, I was, like, super sad. I'm like, no, tough! And then I read, I was like, oh, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, well, I saw that they gave them Inflict Pain, and I was like, oh, sweet, like, Fury Management, yes! And then it's like, they also got Dismembered, and it's like, damn it! They'll just, like, straight up kill your War Beast.
Yeah.
Like, or it's... You can make it, like,
risky.
Dice off 10 to a Troll Heavy, but that's still a little too much damage that I want to... Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you could just spike a roll and be like, 8 damage. Like, damn it. Like, was it worth it?
Yeah. My favorite rules change. This is the pro and con, the second one for Circle. Because last year I was like, my favorite thing is Cassius because what? Blah, blah, blah. He's amazeballs. And then my least favorite thing was Wolds. My favorite change to a rule that exists in Circle is Heart Eater.
Editor's note. This is the part of the podcast where Crumps talks about a rule that doesn't work the way he wants it to. And how excited he is about the interaction that doesn't work the way he wants it to. Because that was clarified the day after we recorded. So let's all listen to the next section and laugh at him together.
Because you can now collect your own corpses, which you previously couldn't do in Mark II. And it doesn't specify living anymore, which makes perfect sense.
So you can just load Chromac 2 up.
Sucks balls. And yes, I have done that.
That is gross.
Yeah. I built a list against Joey and then just had like a... I paid for River Raiders and then just on turn one ate all three of them just to have three corpses so I would be Fury 10.
To tie this conversation together, Starcrossed with Chromac 2, probably not okay. Just saying.
Yep.
That seems pretty good. I don't know.
Stupid Starcrossed.
Yeah. Anyway, continue. Sorry.
So Heart Eater, you can now kill your own dudes and you get it off of undead models, which is sweet. The downside is Heart Eater... In Mark 2, just said you can spend a corpse token to buy an attack or boost a attack or damage roll. They specified it to be melee only, which is not super relevant to anyone. It's sort of relevant for Chromac because he can't boost Primal Shocks anymore. So my Wold Wrath plan was super legit, was going to be Trample, and I'd kill three of my own dudes to get three corpses, so I'd have three fully boosted, like, POW 16 Primal Shocks, like, boost to hit and damage.
Chromac can Trample now?
No, the Wold Wrath.
Oh.
The plan was Wold Wrath Trample and then Primal Shock a caster to death through the Wold Wrath.
Yeah.
Can't do that anymore. The biggest nerf is probably to Lord of the Feast. He can't boost his bird anymore, which actually just sucks.
Yeah.
And then Chris and I have been like back and forth on Tharn Blood Pack for a long period of time because in Mark 3, they lost Assault and Battery and just gained Assault, which is... really crappy combo because they go to assault an infantry model and then they kill the model with the bow and then they can't get a heart because they have to kill them in melee to get a heart. And I'm like, and then Chris was like, oh no, wait, we can kill our own dudes and get their hearts and then we have boostable like bows. That's kind of sweet. And then Chris was like, oh, you can only boost melee now. This unit is unplayable garbage. Like Tharn Blood Pack and Mark II were like kind of
borderline.
Maybe. But they were range 12, POW 13, and then in Mark 2 or Mark 3, they nerfed the range to 10.
What?
Yeah. They just got infinitely worse.
That's weird.
They got assault.
Yeah.
So they're like, One additional inch.
Well, that's true.
No, they're probably just atrocious.
I'm just saying, like, that's why they did it.
I know that's why they did it, but...
That was Nick. He loves something and hates something
else. I love
else.
Heart Eater, but hate it at the same
there
time.
There we go. I have to just, like, love two things because I'm playing a faction that only got sweet.
Yeah.
So,
like Karchev.
You suck.
No, not Karchev, though. He got worse. Yeah, he got worse. But if I can't hate him because, like, who cares? You can literally have a potato be your caster and then just throw a bunch of juggernauts and then kill everybody.
Yeah.
So that's, I'm kind of excited that the juggernaut, in my opinion, the juggernaut's, like, it's the warjack of warjacks, the warjack in which all warjacks should be measured. It should be, like, the baseline. Like, you know, everything should be faster and hit less hard or, you know, like, higher defense. But the juggernaut's, like, the nuts. And that he's 12 points. Like, we have, like, the nuts primo Cadillac of jacks at 12 points. And he's mat 7 now.
It does bother me that that thing is only 12
points. Oh, and he's still pow 19 with crit freeze and just like all the crap he does with 1-inch reach on his fist.
Wait, he still crit freezes?
Yeah, on his
at mat 7.
Duh.
It's an ice axe.
I don't care, Keith.
Mm. Yeah, he's had it since like forever.
He's not a stupid...
They proliferated immunity to cold.
He's
thanks,
not a
trolls.
Yeah, okay.
So he's basically useless now.
Oh my god, speaking of stationary people, the shambler dude is
oh,
now
Jesus.
Nuts.
Was that a tangent?
Yeah, it's so range then, 7. Anyway.
So then... the Juggernaut's one thing that just makes me excited. And then we talked about Strakoff last week. Oh, Harkovich. Snarkovich is like, I'm super... At first I was down on him. He was another one of those guys like, why do I care about this guy? Because he lost fortune and like some of his other things. But reposition 3, like the Keith Karchev thing. So one of my arguments, my counter to Karchev being good, is that you could have a potato be that same slot and then it would just still be good.
Or a ham.
Or ham. And then so I was thinking about Harkovich. I'm like, yeah, you can just take Harkovich, and Harkovich is even worse. And I thought, well, actually, Harkovich is better, and Harkovich is actually, like, the more you think, because you had the Behemoth
he's
in your
not
list.
Better.
No, he's
way better.
I think he's way better, because Harkovich has an interesting feat that's focus efficiency. He still has focus efficiency on his feet. He still has a lot, like, the trick with him is you want Black Ivan and Behemoth, and then you have the reposition 3. So you have guys moving up. For 2 focus, you can have the Behemoth and Black Ivan take 4 or 3 fully boosted, you know, arcing fire 14th.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain all of this better? Because I'm not understanding any of that. I haven't seen Harkovich's card.
He's getting there.
Yeah, so Harkovich has a base rule, has reposition 3. It's his Field Marshal.
Okay, so he traded Field Marshal Pathfinder for Field Marshal reposition 3.
Yeah, and yes. He's got mobility as a spell now.
Okay.
And so mobility's great.
That's an upgrade.
Yeah, +2 speed and Pathfinder. He lost Escort, but he's got Iron Sentinel, whatever, so he's +2 armor and can't be knocked down if he's touching a jack. So overall, I think he's pretty cool. One of the things he's doing is so he's got to cast mobility every turn, my guess is. And the Behemoth can walk 6. It's almost like baby snipe for ranged jacks.
Yeah.
So I can walk up 6, shoot 14, and then back up 3, which I think is going to be pretty frustrating in this like new pre-measuring game.
Yeah.
I can do that for 2 focus. For 2 focus on Black Ivan and Behemoth, it's all boosted. And then for 3 more to cast mobility. So for 5 focus, he's doing all that.
Wait, is mobility 3 cost now?
It is 3.
Yeah.
Oh, they upped it.
Brutal.
It is brutal. But then he still camps his 1, and he can upkeep something for free. He actually has no upkeeps. So I just always take Reinhold. That's the other new thing about Kador, is it's like, always Reinhold. There's like never, Wishnailer's kind of like, he's like in the unemployment line almost. He's like, they're basically doing the lean manufacturing, like, Reinhold, or, you know, Reinhold's coming in and like, checking in all the attachments and basically firing them. But yeah, your job's been obsoleted and we don't need you, so we're going to trim some fat and I'm just going to gobber my way in there.
Doesn't Wishnailer still give you a free upkeep?
He does, but Harkovich doesn't have any. So he used to. He used to have fortune. We lost it. And then I was like, oh my god, Reinhold!
Well, he used to have escort too.
Yeah. And then Reinhold's so good because of the stealth things. If you're going to have 3 bombards who are hitting at like high focus efficiency to then just be able to like, hey, is that a Warple Stalker over there in the woods? Badoosh! Oh my god, I'm so excited.
Why do you always have to pick Warpole Stalkers?
Because they're the worst things on the planet and I hate them.
They are a pain in the
ass. And they got like 3 more hit points.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're super survivable now.
Yeah.
So my problem, my counterpoint to you claiming that Harkovich is better than a superior Karchev caster is that
reposition 3 is like Warpath all the time.
Except not at all, because it doesn't help you offensively.
You can use Warpath defensively. That's how I'm choosing to do it. Only defensively.
But you can use Warpath defensively, but you can also use it offensively. It also only costs you 1 instead of 3.
Yeah, it's an upkeep. Then you're like, then you feel
it's another fully fueled heavy that Harkovich does not have.
Harkovich doesn't need it. He's so good.
And on his feet turn, he gives you 1 extra focus per jack, where Karchev's like, have 7. That's a bit of a difference.
Dig deep, Nigel. Take that KC training.
Is this really relevant? Aren't like both of these casters going to just be like tier F, where Strakoff is tier S?
Where Snarkovich is good is that you're spamming armor 20s that go to 23s, and they all get in your business.
That's true.
And then that's pretty tough to deal with. Like, he trades in a different way. And also the range game. I just want to be able to play the range game a little better early, because I think softening people up as your, you know, legitimate skirmish heavies get in there is going to be
critical.
Move forward
six, move back three. The move forward six, shoot, move back three is pretty interesting.
Yeah. But that's what I'm so excited about. Like, as I go through the casters, like, you can make a case for Karchev being playable, and you can make a case for Harkovich and Strakov, obviously, like, as you go through the catalog. The only person that I honestly, well, I don't think I'll play Karchev over, I'll have to, like, really plow Butcher 1, because if Butcher 1 isn't good, then I'll play, you know, I'll try other things. But Butcher 1 just seems like he's the ultimate nuts.
Okay.
Like, he dials everything up to 11. What's a full throttle? This seems like a really good just every turn spell.
I'm actually just like worried about Butcher 1 like being the king of the universe now with Battlegroup Heavy.
Yeah, because Ruin with Boundless Charge with him just like solves...
Just his feet.
And his feet, yeah.
Just his feet. Like, it's his, just his feet like undoes so many armies that I try and make.
Outside of Ruin, he's got threat range issues.
But yeah, but then you just take Ruin. And then the worst part about Ruin is Ruin can have Fury on him. So he's like Pal 21, Weapon Master.
You can remove Ruin.
No, I'm working on this list with Doomshaper. It was just going to be guns, because I'm going to have like a Glacier King and then like a Bomber and put Fortune on probably the Glacier King.
Mm-hmm.
And the neat thing is Doomshaper's staff got a rule called a curse, which is when a model is hit by... It's the same thing that Iris has, I think. It's a model... When a model is hit by this weapon, you remove all focus and fury points on it. And I was like, oh, sweet. Like, so you can really get up in the business and like assassinate people with that if they ever decide to get into his like tiny, you know, melee threat range.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, whatever. That's never going to happen. And then I realized that it's all models. So he can like just tap the back of his Glacier King like in the ass and like get rid of all the fury points off of it for sweet fury management.
Yeah.
That's like, pretty cool.
Yeah. So then like you can have a Glacier King that I can put Fortune on, and then I can just like load up to five like every single turn, just like going to town, like shooting, you know, three shots with rerolls. And then he can just be like, bloop.
He's just like, attaboy, and smacks him in the ass.
Yeah. Which is like dice off. It's like dice off nine if the Creel Stone's going. So there's not a huge risk.
Yeah, a couple
of
points of damage,
yeah,
or whatever.
I mean, most likely zero.
Yeah.
Maybe one or two or three.
Yeah.
Like three if I'm really unlucky. But like, that's sweet for having five fury off every single turn. And then I can just have a bomber like load up to four, you know. So I can force like nine times without any.
Yeah, you're just going to be blowing stuff up.
Yeah, and then he's got the best purification in the game, probably, in my opinion.
Yep.
Disillusion.
It's just better purification.
Objectively.
It's not objectively better because it doesn't remove Animi.
Oh, okay.
So, like, Wrong Eye is going to be a problem. F that guy.
No, it just came full circle. I was like, why does Chad hate Wrong Eye?
But it's when you're not, except against Wrong Eye, it is way better, just way better than purification, because it doesn't remove friendly spells.
Oh, what?
So it's so, because he could just cast it every turn. He's just like, screw you,
like,
screw you, screw you, like, and you just take damage the entire time. Like, oh, it's so good. So yeah, just like a Glacier King, like shooting at your non-buffed, you know, all of your unbuffed
That's
stuff.
Another reason, Keith, why Harkovich is better than Karchev, because I won't take D3 damage from my upkeep.
Oh!
Yeah.
Wait, so like Morvana 1 into Doomshaper 1 is even worse in Mark 3 than it was in Mark 2?
No, she can upkeep her spells if she takes 2d3 damage.
Yeah, so if I take
2d3 damage.
63 damage for the three upkeeps that
one
I want to have
each?
Out there. Yep. So if I die...
I think you might only take the D3 damage from Doomshapers if it gets dispelled.
Oh.
I'm not sure.
So you may only have to take 3d3.
Yeah. Perfect.
Every turn.
She's got like 12 hit points, so it'll be fine.
Or let them all go.
I also like that Doomshaper 1's feet got even better for assassinations, because you can pop it before like, you're going in on a Warcaster.
Mm-hmm.
And then every time they spend a focus to reduce the damage roll by 5, they take a d6.
Wait, it works on...
It's always been that way.
Spend a focus or fury.
Whenever you spend a focus or fury or force a model, they take a d6 damage.
I'm actually pretty excited about Amon Adraza, which is kind of a weird thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's going to be pretty good in Mark 3. Depending on if the meta shakes out like I think it will, which is a lot of battle group heavy sort of stuff.
Yeah.
He still has mobility, right?
He has mobility.
He still has synergy.
He still has synergy. So, like, his stuff is going to hit really hard. And then he has Field Marshal Barry, which is amazing.
Very good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many ways you can build him. Like, you can build him with some Repenters and some Vanquishers. So you can, like, literally walk out of combat and shoot whatever you want. You have that option. You can build him with Templars, which means you can walk out of combat and then beat back into whatever you want.
Well, beat back's not as good anymore. Actually, it's almost not good at all.
It is way worse.
Yeah. It's still good against heavies. Mm-hmm. So, like, you can ride a heavy to what you want to get at. That can definitely happen.
It's harder. You have to line it up on the charge.
Yeah.
And then just you can only go in a straight line.
I understand. And then in Liven, actually, like I said, vassals actually work really well. So enliven with parry works pretty well.
Yeah.
Empower with synergy works really well. And then he's, you know,
dervishes got cheaper, didn't they?
I think so.
Weird. And they're still the same like point cost, and they still have sidestep.
I see a lot of interesting ways you can build them, which I like. So it should be really fun. And I also think the change to the way focus camping works actually helps him quite a bit.
Yeah. It does.
Plus the new vigilant.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
God, that's so dumb.
It's awesome. What are you talking about?
It's really good for Amon.
Yep.
And a lot of other. Yeah.
And everybody.
That's actually, just as an aside.
The new vigilant gives a cover, basically, is what we're saying.
Yep.
It's if you're standing behind it, you gain cover as if it was an obstruction or whatever.
You have to build your castle such that the vigilant can't be slammed over the top of, because if it goes through Amon, then he's visible and he loses his cover.
You can slam his cover away.
Yeah. But
I think it's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying you can build a castle such that it won't happen. Yeah. I mean, oh, yeah. I guess actually Devout probably really.
Don't worry about ranged slams.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Don't if you, worry about
if
it.
If you enliven him and he's got the book near him, they can slam you over him on, and then he can enliven back over him, like enliven back around.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Get you back in there. He doesn't have like groundwork or immune to knockdown. What's his deal?
Had groundwork in Mark 1 or Mark 2.
I would love for casters like that to just be immune to knockdown rather than like or have the Magnus not be targetable. I hate that weird in between.
It's quite
Amon is steady.
Okay.
But
Oh my god.
Maybe I don't need the book then. But I think he'll be pretty good. And I do actually really like the Vigilant. I think the Vigilant will become a staple in a lot of my lists because you have to fill up those battle group points anyway. And giving mobile cover to your casters is so good for Protectorate because they're so squishy.
I can tell you, after having played an entire edition with casters that have mobile cover, it's good.
His cover's harder to get rid of than your cover.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's easier to kill Janissa than it is Janissa like an armor cover 21. Anymore,
so it's like she's totally gotten rid of.
Well, yeah.
All right. I disagree.
The other thing I'm super excited about is to play High Reclaimer because it has Hand of Fate, which is one of my favorite spells.
Yeah, it's weird.
It's so good.
Yeah.
So good. I mean, Burning Ash was nerfed, so you're not going to hide your entire army, but it's okay. You can still hide.
God, it's so good on Idrian's.
It's really dumb. It's really
dumb. Side note. How was Burning Ash nerfed?
It's cost 2.
Oh.
Which means you have half as many clouds.
Significant. Mm.
That's okay. I'm okay with cloud walls going away.
Yep, it's good.
And I guess the thing that I'm sort of lamenting in Protectorate is actually not much of anything. I could go with Choir, but I'm fine with it. Design space.
They didn't get nerfed that badly. They only lost the +2 to hit, right?
It's pretty big. So there's
but like the majority of the game, like the biggest. I mean, I like
there's a lot of things that I did in particular that I can't do anymore, which is fine. I probably shouldn't have been able to do those things.
The +2 to hit was annoying.
Yeah,
like it was annoying and it was frustrating to play against. But the thing that most frustrated me about playing against the Choir was not even Hymn of Battle.
It was the no shooting me?
Yeah, no shooting. By far the most frustrating aspect of the Choir, and they still do that, and it's not changed, right?
Yep.
I would say it's roughly equivalent to the Double Stones nerf. Yep. Significant, not crippling.
I would agree with that. Like I said, I'm fine with it. You know, whatever.
I'm just thinking back to like all of the most frustrating games I've ever played against Menoth were the games where they never even used Hymn of Battle. They were just like, no shoot, no shoot, no shoot, no shoot. And then we'd finally get engaged, and I'd be like, finally, Hymn of Battle. Like, just get your freaking Hymn of Battle. Like, do your extra damage to my guys, whatever, but then I can get, at least I shoot you. You know, and then they're just like, no shoot. And I'm like, God damn it.
One thing
I
shouldn't
have told them your play, Chad.
Yeah,
I am super excited about, Nigel hit on it, is just the Redeemer in general is really good now. And Jack marshalling him will be really silly.
They reload or rate of fire?
Rate of fire 3.
I hate this game.
It's so stupid.
I'm not playing Mark III.
Yeah.
It's Rate of Fire 3, which just means that all the infantry dies. But the cool thing is with
I know
the Jack Marshall bonus, which is like ready aim or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get +2 to all damage rolls.
+2 to damage rolls with the Choir damage rolls. That means you get 3, you know, power 10 AoEs a turn.
11 with Savvy.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't ancillary them anymore, though. So, you know, it's not quite as good.
That's okay. You don't have to give them any focus for them to make all of their attacks.
And then get 1 free boost.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's okay. Trenchers will endure.
That will be annoying, actually.
Yeah, Ragnar has a dig in spell too. So I'm just going to be like, the Creel Stone is just dug in. Screw your Reap Deemers.
Yeah, you just run it first turn and then start digging in the whole unit because they stay dug in until you move them.
Yep, exactly.
So this,
I think Ragnar's really good. Yeah, go on.
Ragnar Storm Splitter, the Runer Master.
Sky Splitter, the Runer Master.
I hope that's his actual card.
Me too.
Also, Resnik 2 looks like he's going to be fun. Just Boundless Charge and Protectorate is good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just good.
Boundless Charge is an insanely good spell.
Yep.
It's really dumb.
Can't believe they gave it to Trolls. I'm also kind of sad that they gave it to Trolls because it came with nerfing my favorite caster. Wah, 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 wah. But it's a really friggin' good spell, and yeah, it's really good in Protectorate, too.
Well, it's been in Protectorate.
Yeah, and it was really good when they got it.
Yep, no, but it's going to be good. Avatar with free charges and
Pathfinder.
It's going to be a thing.
And from downtown.
Just as an aside, I noticed that the avatar was 20 points, so Privateer Press clearly saw it my way.
And that you're the worst.
He was overcosted in Mark II. You have to admit, like, it's pretty good evidence to back up my position.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Also,
well, Molg got 3 points cheaper.
Also noticed that they buffed.
Slightly different.
Yeah, Molg lost a lot of abilities. The avatar didn't. They also buffed, just for the record, the Metal Battle Engine.
I saw that. Whatever.
I'm just saying, like, another thing where I've sort of been proven that it wasn't that much better than
the Battle Engine should have gotten, like, buffed to Crazy Town. They're now the same cost as heavies. But, like.
And, oh my god, why would you not take a heavy?
Exactly.
Right. They're not the same cost as heavies. They're the same cost as character heavies.
Right.
Like premium.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's bad. Like, I'll never play another vessel.
I can take a Juggernaut and a Berserker for the cost of half this garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
true. And that's. I'm just going to ballpark it, like, 40 more boxes. On the table.
Oh, I have a question for you guys. Do you guys think that with the resurgence of the heavies that we'll see a lot less Colossals?
Yeah.
Yep. Yes. 100%.
Yeah, I think so too. I think you're going to see more, like, it's weird because I want to play the Glacier King and the Mountain King more, but I think that they might be just a liability and I have to play it. But
I think the balance point for Colossals is roughly what the balance point for Gargantuans was in Mark II.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Their relative value to heavies is about the same as the relative value of even the good Gargantuans.
Interesting.
Yeah, like
it's just low.
Would you take a Conquest over like 2 Juggernauts?
Well, I mean, I definitely wouldn't take it over 3 Juggernauts, no.
What? It's not 3 Juggernauts.
It's 3 Juggernauts is 36 points and Conquest is 38.
Oh my god.
I also Juggernaut, or isn't Behemoth and Ruin like the same exact points as a Conquest?
Yeah, Behemoth and Ruin combo is the same points.
It's 38 points.
Yeah, and with character restrictions not being a thing anymore.
And you get more boxes, more firepower, more, like, just, like, everything.
You essentially get the output combination with the 2 bombards.
Yeah, and they're harder to kill.
Yep.
Bart will still take a Galleon.
Yeah.
That might be it.
I might take a Skyraptor, maybe.
You don't think Stormwall is going to be taken ever? Just
I don't like him.
Centurions all day long.
Yeah, I don't like him personally anymore. I mean, I never particularly. He was good, but I didn't want to play him most of the time. So I'm not looking for a reason to.
I feel like I was so right about the Mountain King. Like, it just needed such small changes to become playable. Because I'm so excited to try it out now, but I'm also just worried that, like, with the new game, that it's just going to be, even though it got better, it will have gotten relatively worse. Like, it got better, but everything else, like, got better at killing it.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Well, the infantry got worse at killing it.
The infantry got worse at killing it. But so then there's also like things like Grievous Wound guns now.
Yeah, that's true.
Which really really F's the Mountain King like hard.
Oh, that's right. Thyra's spell, Silence of Death. You can put that on guns now, right?
Yeah. All Silence of Death casters. So yeah. Thyra, Morgul 2 if he kept it, and Butcher 3.
That'll be pretty good on that old Reckoner.
Yep.
-2 defense and Grievous Wounds wherever I want it.
So, I mean,
that's the thing is, like, trolls are now the Shield Guard faction, so that's at least nice.
Wait, how do you stop me from killing your caster?
Grievous Wounds the same as they used to?
Grievous Wounds doesn't stop
tracers. Also, it doesn't do that.
Anymore.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
Yeah, they were like, let's put it on guns.
Okay.
That
was the part I was missing. that would be a little too good.
Troll casters are just as hard. They're actually harder to kill than they used to be because now there's Shield Guards everywhere. Like, yeah, I keep making armies that, like, my battle group ends up being, like, 3 bouncers, you know, or I end up putting in, like, a min pack or just, like, a unit of warders to just, like, stand around. Like, almost all of my lists have, like, at least three shield guards.
That's one thing I really like about sort of the new design of the game I've noticed. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but there's a lot more immovable stuff and a lot more shield guards.
Yeah.
Which allows you to play a different sort of scenario game, which I like a bit.
Well, I haven't noticed that many shield guards in other factions.
They're all over Scorn.
I would like to point out that the one... I was talking to Dan Sams about this over the weekend, but the one shield guard that I had in faction as Circle, actually just in period, because Minions doesn't have any that I could take, is no longer a shield guard, and if Circle wants to take a shield guard, they have to play 17 points for it, because it moved to the World Guardian from the World Watcher. So that's kind of a kick in the nuts. You don't want shield guards to cost, like, 20 points.
You can. I mean, I've never minded Tibbers being a shield guard.
Correct.
I've always felt that was good.
Yeah, Tibbers is also not, like, a pile of garbage.
I mean, this is from the faction that had like all stealth heavies like in Mark II, so I'm just having a hard time feeling bad for you.
Yeah, you're a dick. I get it.
Yeah.
One thing, Dan was like,
I can't shield guard in this. I can't shield guard from my heavies that are never going to get shot because they're always stealth anyway.
They won't be in Mark III.
That's
likely.
True.
So
there are no shield guard minions, are there?
There are not. There are shield guard mercenaries, but it's just the Ogryn Bokor.
Mm-hmm.
You can
Relic Moorclaw and take a Vanguard.
Boom, boom, boom.
I think that's also like 17 points. Might be like
should
15.
Should be 15.
Yeah.
Boosh!
Value.
Yeah, value.
I was talking to Dan, and he's like, I sold all my circle stuff. And I was like, oh, man, why? He's like, because like Bradagus changed and all this stuff.
Because Dan.
Yeah. But he sold his like army to this guy, and he's like, yeah, so with Bradagus, just play like six of these World Watchers. You might want to get some of these World Guardians. And I was like, I shouldn't have done that. He's like, why? I'm like, World Guardians are bad with Bradagus now because they don't benefit from the feat because they gain that sturdy rule, which means they can't be pushed, and Bradagus's feat still pushes. So I don't know if that was oversight on their part, but it's pretty awkward. The caster that's restricted to taking Wolds, one of them is like...
Two of them.
Oh, yeah. Two of them are can't benefit.
More like Bradagus.
From the feet.
Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Wait, which is the second one?
The Wold Wrath.
Right, right. Oh, I forgot. That wasn't in the five that I said. The, technically six Wolds, I guess. But
yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
We're getting dragged back into circle minutiae.
I know, every time.
I'm excited for...
Oh, yeah. Keith's turn. I forgot about that.
I forgot that Keith exists.
Yeah, you sons of grammar. I'm
back
excited...
Iowa, Keith.
I'm excited for Haley, too. I don't think I talked about her last time.
Nope.
No.
She's like a whole new caster to discover. Taking Deadeye off her card makes her a totally different caster.
What did she get?
Field Marshal Future Sight. She didn't get much for it. It's not nothing, but it's not a lot.
Yeah, that's actually... That's yeah. That's how I would classify that, too, so... There you go.
She's a totally different caster because, I mean, she gained power up. That's what everybody gained,
right.
Was power up. So she lost Deadeye in favor of power up and Field Marshal Future Sight. She's loving the idea, I'm pretty sure, of the battlegroup v battlegroup. Let's trade some pieces. Because she's like, oh, okay. Like, I'll alpha strike you with a Stormclad, no problem, and feet. Like, I will take one to two heavies, feet on you, take two to three heavies, and then we'll play a game. And it'll be sweet.
God, that's awesome. That's like exactly how I played Haley when I played Signarla for like 3 months. Was I remember I even showed John my first Haley. I was like, look at this Haley list I built. And you were like, that's just a Doomshaper list. Like, psh, get out of here.
It was good, though. It was annoying.
She's going to be the one caster that I try Jack Marshalling in Signar with. Because she can put together a really combined arms Stormclad if you put it on the gun mages. Unfortunately, all the good drives are on solos, and I am not that dumb. I'm not putting a 17 or 18 point warjack on a solo. Ever.
What do Jack Marshals actually do other than the drives?
Yeah, so it's Crush is make an additional attack and plus two to damage rolls, melee damage rolls. Hurry is make a free charger power attack and gain plus two to your charge attack roll.
Okay.
Strike true is plus two to all attack rolls, and take aim is aim and plus two to range damage rolls. So with Haley has the potential to create a really interesting combined arms jack with the Jack Marshall rules, because you put a Stormclad, I'm pretty sure it's got to be a Stormclad, on the gun mages, which are the only drive in the game, or the only drive available to Signar that's not on a solo.
What's the drive that they have?
Rune shots.
Oh, I see.
So you can get access to snipe. And then he can use the take aim with like a power booster and temporal acceleration. He'll be range 12, pow 16 on two shots.
Two shots.
And he can go up to power 18 if you're utilizing the Firefly. And then
nice.
And then he can use the crush order to get plus two to melee damage rolls and an additional attack, plus temporal acceleration, plus power boost, plus gaining a focus from starting near a Storm Knight. He can potentially put out five power 21 melee attacks.
Do not want.
That so he seems can make really freaking good, though. Five power 21s.
Right. With the Stormclad on the gun mages, you can make use of the entire Jack Marshall kit, which I like the idea of, but I don't know if the points investment is of any value, and I think the gun mages might be dead weight.
Yeah.
Which is a weird thing to say, right? You're just like, whoa.
I don't think the only reason why gun mages will be dead weight is if the proliferation of can't be pushed stuff is so huge, which it might be, because like half the Kador chassis have it, basically.
Yeah, there's just way more of it in the game.
Yeah, the Dorf chassis have it. There's a lot of it now. So, but
yeah, otherwise, if there's some pushable stuff, I see what you're saying. Like something comes in, you're like, oh, okay, Take aim, Stormclad. Kaboom, kaboom, two boosted POW 16s. And it's like, go, gun mages, pop, 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 push them back.
Yeah, because then your plan is also time bomb, push the stuff around, and then just you really manipulate the battlefield hard.
So I might try that version, but I also just want to try the pure vicious aggression. Stormclad's on Haley to jam them down your throat, feet, peace trade aggressively, see what's left, which I'm imagining will be mostly blue models.
That sounds really fun, actually.
It's making me blue.
Between Haley 3 being awesome and Haley 2 being awesome and Kara Sloan being awesome, who's the other chick that I'm really excited
Maddox?
For? No.
I really like, and everybody else has sort of panned him, but I like Easy Rider guy.
Cray.
I think Cray is pretty cool.
Oh, that's what I was going to talk about. Jake's. We didn't talk about the news and announcements from the No Quarter or the podcast.
Yeah.
They announced that Jake's is going to be the next, like, full caster, or she's going to be a full caster. Like,
oh, nice. Are all of them getting that treatment?
I assume so. I see no reason why not. So they had all this artwork up for, like, Jake's being, like, awesome and, like, holding. She's got two new swords, and they look exactly like the ends of Sturgis's old staff, which is pretty cool. I don't know. I'm super excited for. So between, like, Jake's and Kara Sloan, who I always loved, and then, like, Haley 3 looks fun as hell and, like, just awesome, and Haley 2 has always been awesome. And, like, I was just like, God, I might need to get into Signar.
Signar does look like a clear winner, I think. I guess here's a question. Just looking at the spoilers, and this is grain of salt stuff, right? Because, like, I don't know
so
how
that
we...
transitions. I'm going to finish my what
oh,
I was talking
about. Yeah, go ahead.
So that actually does transition into what I'm disappointed in. Early on in the spoiler releases for the new edition, there was mention of increasing the instance of faction on spells, and instead of just increasing it, it was just a complete find and replace. Any instance of friendly gets replaced with friendly faction. There are no instances of friendly left in Signar whatsoever. So Merknar is gone. It's completely dead. And that was something that I always really enjoyed, was that super flexibility of the faction to use either mercenary or faction options. Because a lot of the reason I initially picked up Signar was I wanted a faction with which I could play Ayana and Holt and Alexia 1 and Iris 2 and all the cool mercenary models, as well as some other neat stuff. And that's just gone.
Yeah,
it's kind of sad.
It's sort of a kick in the nuts for the people who, like, I played I had, like, all of Mercs for a long time, and then I was like, oh, all I have to do is buy, like, three casters and, like, four Warjacks, and then I can play, like, this entire other faction. Now, if you want to do that in Mark III, you have to invest, like, $400.
Yeah, I'm pretty unhappy with that change, too, just because I feel like it takes a lot of nuance out of the game.
I love that change. And the reason why I love that change is it just gives them a fighting chance of, like, balancing Merc models. When you have to, like, think of every potential, when you make a new Merc model, every potential, like, abuse of it. And I think Merc models are going to become more stand on their own and then have synergy in the Merc faction, which is kind of how it should be, in my opinion.
Yeah, it allowed them to change to make Steelhead Riflemen not cost a million jillion points. Now they're dirty cheap. It's good for the faction mercenaries, to be sure.
It's also good for the design team.
It's good for the It's good for the faction of mercenaries, but I guess the problem that I have with that is that, like, mercenaries by definition are supposed to be, like,
mercenary. Yeah.
But
like,
I think
their whole point as a faction and the reason they were introduced to the game is, like, here's some interesting, like, merc options that will, you know, work for everyone, and that's the whole fluff. And that's just been completely gutted out of the game in favor of them making, like, that as a separate faction.
I don't think it has to be gutted out of the game, though, because you can still take them. They have to design, and we'll have to look and see if they did this. They design those things to stand on their own. The merc options are good on their own. And if they're good on their own and they don't need your friendly buffs, then it'll be fine.
Nis Hunters, for example, are still fine standalone. The weird ones are like Ayana and Holt. There's no reason to take. You have to, like, put a
attachment
ranking
on,
officer to, like, benefit from them. It's just weird. It's the biggest kick in the nuts that's for is Rhett, because, like, Rhett doesn't have one. And Rhett players own Ayana and Holt, and Ayana and Holt now only benefit.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they're not Rhett partisans. Maybe that'll get changed in an errata.
I figure they'll probably get a ranking officer.
I could see them making Ayana and Holt, like, particularly for Rhett, just making them a
just
partisan.
Just Ayana, actually, so Holt's left in the dust.
Holt doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter for Holt.
Yeah.
There's no reason Rhett would ever get a ranking officer. It would only work for Ayana and Holt.
I know. Yeah. Hey, Keith, the search for more money. Or future models that haven't.
Yeah, there'll be elven gun mages that are mercenary models.
Yeah.
And then they'll be able to join that, but they'll know they'd be partisan. Damn it.
There will not be elven gun mages.
Why do you say that?
Fluff says no.
Fluff says they can't use guns? Even though half the faction is guns?
They won't use that kind of magic.
Oh.
Yeah, it's beneath them.
But what if they
it kills their gods.
Yeah, it's beneath them.
Yeah, but what What do the ghost snipers use? What if they just use that magic instead?
Mage hunters?
Yeah, what?
Yeah, the ghost snipers.
They don't have magic. Yep.
So I'm excited for the game. There's a lot of spoilers we can get into.
Also,
you were going to ask a question about Signar, John.
Oh, I was going to ask, like, just your gut reaction, where you kind of felt like tier-wise the factions sort of fell into place. And for me, Signar clearly is one of the best factions now, at least just at first blush. That's what it looks like to me.
I'm not sure, because while Signar, looking through their changes, are almost universally positive, because of the removal of Merknar and especially the rebalancing of heavies versus colossals, it's really hard to judge. Because so many of the models that you will see Signar play going forward were never played before.
That's fair.
I would say Signar might be one of the most changed factions, because you're going to see lists that have no similarity to anything you've seen before. There's going to be some holdovers of the Stormwall lists that try to get carried forward, and I think they will fail. But I think they're good. I'm not sure that they're the top tier.
I also feel like Cotter came out very well.
Mm-hmm. Similar situation for them.
Yep.
Nigel's super happy. He's like, Shrek, how's the best caster in the game?
How I feel, at least the War Machine factions. Protectorate, I feel like side-graded. Convergence, side-graded. Retribution's better than they were, I feel like.
Quite a bit better.
Yeah.
Like,
Mercs is, I think, side-graded. Maybe a little better. I'm not 100% sure.
Better.
I think Mercs are better, yeah.
You think so?
Yes.
That's fine. I think Scorn is actually better, even though a lot of their stuff got toned down, because of the way the new meta is going to shake out. I think because of the Agonizer, it's going to be hard to profitably trade with Scorn heavies, but we'll see. Might be wrong.
In melee.
Apparently it's very easy to kill.
Having
the Agonizer?
Yeah.
Having
it's
played,
like 13-12.
How do you get line 12, of sight 13. To it? Through it?
That's what I asked. I've been told that people who have played it say that it's very easy to kill.
It's very easy to kill, like the choir and the stone is easy to kill?
That's what I've been told.
All right, okay.
I think it's stupid too.
All right, whatever. I think Circle's a little worse. Legion's a little worse.
I don't know.
Crix is a lot worse.
I think Legion's better.
You think Legion is better?
Yeah. I hate to say it.
I think Legion is better.
I think Legion's better.
Interesting.
I'm not looking forward to playing against Legion. I'm looking forward to playing against a more winnable matchup, but it's going to be tougher. They're across the board tougher.
I think
there's a few things out there that completely devour all the lists, or almost all the lists I've been seeing theory crafted. They're like, oh, look, I'm really excited about X, Y, or Z and a bunch of jacks because we didn't used to be able to do that. And like Epic Abbey is going to eat all of that for breakfast. And actually, if this jack meta has any legs to it at all, the Witch Coven and as many Banes as they can shove in a list will eat it for breakfast.
I've been thinking about that the last couple of days. I can't remember if I was talking about this earlier today or not, but just that fact that like Banes, like since Warjacks are going to be so much more prevalent, the fact that Banes are worse is kind of irrelevant.
Yeah.
I think they're still going to be good enough.
Because you only have to deliver three, right, to drop a heavy?
And if they don't have any infantry to kill your Banes, then your Banes are going to be just as, you know, it doesn't matter that they don't have stealth anymore.
Yep.
If only like three of them are going to die to your Warjack guns, and then you get charged by seven Banes.
I was making this comment to some Crix player, it might have been Keith, about Mechanothralls, because Mechanothralls got infinitely worse, but the game, I think, how we think it's going to shape out isn't going to inherently have less attacks. So, like, if a Warjack has to, like, punch a Mechanothrall, it's basically, like, the
game over,
the game,
man. Yeah.
Right? Like, because yeah. I don't have, like, all of these guns to kill your low-value Mechanothralls, but Mechanothralls will still, if you're producing, like, 9 a turn with, like, a Sepulcher and, like, 2 Necrosurgeons, and, like, your list can't kill that many. Like, it's just mathematically impossible if you have more and more heavies.
I mean, there's things like Tramples and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to see balanced lists are going to be the best lists, at least to start.
Maybe.
I don't think this is...
Oh, it was at the beginning of Mark 2.
Yeah.
My lists are largely unchanged, which is weird.
I keep building lists that are very similar, that have, like, just slightly more war beasts.
See, I had the, like, how your faction is built was drastically different than mine. Earlier, you were like, I had to take this. I'm like, I always took, like, 2 heavies and a light, or, like, 3 heavies and a light, so it's... Like, a lot of my lists are, I'm just like, eh, this is the same. This is kind of lame. Like, yeah, I think Legion is better. It's way different.
Yeah.
So, like, I think it's better because I was playing Legion very infantry-centric, and, like, I can still do that. Like, their infantry is, by and large, either the same or, like, slightly better. And so, Callus seems really good in the new format. Like, Lilith 1 just got better, and I was like, yes, this is amazing.
Lilith 1 is so good.
Yeah, yeah. Basically, I picked the 2 casters that I can be a hipster about, Cassius and Loth.
And Epic Abbey is going to be a meta predator. Bad.
Yep.
Legion's really... I like Legion. like every single thing in that faction seems viable, so it's hard to get a gauge on like if they got better or worse. Mm. So
I'm excited to see how the meta shakes out and just like show up at that first tournament, which for us, I think the first big Mark III tournament we're going to be at is the Wisconsin Team Championship in July.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unless, I guess we're going to go to Daikon. Are they playing? They're doing Mark II there. Is that right?
Privateer Weekend is the last Mark II event.
Oh, boo.
Boo is
it
right.
Will be the last gasp.
Shut up.
There's it's going to be amazing.
Hey, always go recruits.
Oh, geez. Keith's just going to go in there and pray on
the last
pray on the
gasp.
Leftovers.
Yeah,
exactly.
I get it now, yeah.
The last gasp. Yeah, I've just been having fun building lists and enjoying the, I don't know. A lot of the stuff that I liked in Trolls changed, but a lot of other stuff like changed too. And I think the casters, for the most part, just got better, which is great. The casters were already one of the kind of strong suits of the faction, and for the most part, they all just got better.
Trolls have an interesting perspective, or at least from my perspective as I make my lists, I've been focusing on Kador more. But it's like, we were talking about the idea of like, I think a balanced list, but Trolls and Kador have the ability to make an imbalanced balanced list. Because like the idea of if you take Black Ivan and the Behemoth, and then like spam Juggernauts and Berserkers, you have like a huge balance. You're like pounding them at range and forcing them to come in out of the rain, and then plowing them with stuff that's hard to trade. So like, I think the bombers are so good.
Epic Madrak, just by himself, if you brought infantry, great. Like, I will destroy your... I will end your world. Mm-hmm. And if you brought nothing but Warjacks, also great. I have Mulg and a Mauler and Blood Fury,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know... what Anthony O'Reilly has been has been telling me that he's been calling it Mad Madrak's Blood Fury Road.
Oh, Anto.
So good.
Love that guy. Love the Irish in general.
I came up with... It was like my very second list I built was basically just like Meat Mountain 2.0 with Gristle 2 and three bouncers as my battle group. And then it's two units of champions and a unit of warders and then the Creel Stone and then two chroniclers. And there might be some other stuff I forget. But that's the gist of it.
Needs more wrong eye.
So she casts deflection so that everything is def 14 versus shooting. And then the chroniclers put Tail of Mists on both of the champion units so that they're def 16 versus shooting and def 14 versus melee. And then I have 8 shield guards. And my feat is...
The chronicler adds defense to melee?
No, champions.
Champions do when they're base to base.
And then if I need to, like if I'm playing against a lot of infantry, if I need to, I can put Wailing on a bouncer and just have it run into the enemy army, to prevent orders with an armor 21, you know, can't be moved beast, being an asshole. And the entire goal of the list is to just deliver the champions to your enemy's face. And then, you know, pop your feet and get them to, you
watch
know,
them kill everything.
Yeah, because you can put Charge of the Trolls on both of them.
And yeah, with bouncers
are really
you get
good.
There, yeah.
Yeah. And her feet gives reposition 3. So the bouncers are actually really good at, like, engaging things because they can charge and then, like, you know, walk into.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then she's also just herself, just got the 3 guns to, you know, she can shred a lot of infantry herself. So
that sounds like a fun list.
It's basically Meat Mountain, but worse Meat Mountain.
Probably.
A lot. It's Meat Mountain on defense and not armor. Which is significantly worse, but still probably good, or at least fun. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Kraos is better into it, but...
Champions are immune to knockdown.
Oh, that's something.
Wah, wah, wah.
I didn't know that. They're steady all the time.
But defensive line gets steady now.
Ooh.
Yep.
Kraos is not good into that.
Kraos isn't going to be that excited about this new meta, because it's like, there's a ton of crap that's immune to knockdown now.
Yeah.
Also, knocking down some Def 12 Warjacks is a lot less exciting than a field of Def 14 and 15 infantry.
True. That's true.
Oh my champions God. Are immune to knockdown. I have 2 chroniclers, so I can make the rest of my list. You can't shoot it. I can put Tail of Mists on the warders and on the...
I mean, nothing would make me happier than seeing Kraos get meta'd out.
Yeah, I'm pretty worried about that guy.
Whatever. Nobody plays that guy anyway. It's terrible.
I can't believe they left Purification on his card.
Me too.
That was weird. I will admit that that was like, for me... I was like, things that I guarantee in a new edition that'll happen. Kraos will lose Purification. Like, it was just one of those things that I'd already made my peace with, like, 6 years ago. Because I just knew that it shouldn't be there
because
in Mark II.
He's like, Kraos will lose Purification, and the Avatar will be 10 points. These are things that will happen.
I got half of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Kraos, Denegra, and Sorsha, the old good battle box casters, were all kind of like, huh? Just why did these get more worse?
Yeah. thanks, PP. Yeah.
Isn't Denegra just obviously Crix's best caster now? Yes?
Denegra is one of the only ones who I think that's actually true. Whereas everybody spooched about Kraos and Sorsha, but I don't think the meta's
going to
bother.
Better.
I mean, Sorsha did get better. I was freaking out about her a lot. Like, I still get really pissed when I think about her. But if I continue to think about her and draw her to her logical conclusion, it's like, well, if there's going to be a lot more Warjacks in the game, then Freezing Grip is not quite as egregious as it, like, I think it is.
I agree. For Krios and Sorsha, I think the meta may take care of them to an extent. But for Denegra, it's like, huh?
The only reason I don't know about that for Krios is because caster assassinations are so much easier now. Like, I think that this is the thing that I think is entirely weird. It's because I think that War Machine factions as a whole got so much better, but their core got worse. Whereas, like, Horde's factions, they shuffled around a lot, but, like, the Fury mechanic, for everything that we know, we assume that transfers and everything still work the same, which means that Warlocks are still just as hard to kill as they used to be. But Warcasters are now way easier to kill than they used to be.
Yep.
So I'm very curious.
If you can get hold of them, yeah.
Sure, yeah, but, like, half of them are frontline.
It's going to be the same. Yeah. Getting a hold of them in Mark III is going to be just as hard as it was in Mark II. Actually, probably harder because of pre-measuring.
There is a proliferation of defensive measures you can put around your casters now, though. Like, we talked about
the wall or the vigilance.
The vigilance, and then there's more. Just more shield guards, or it feels like there is. I mean,
there are in trolls.
Yeah,
like the shield guard faction.
Shield guard dot deck.
I'm jelly.
All right, is that an episode or?
Yep.
This will be the next lots of episodes sound like.
Pretty much.
Random off the wall dojo speculation talking about what's new.
If you want us to focus ourselves a little bit more, feel free to give us some topic suggestions on the forums, and we may or may not ignore them. But
yeah, that's a good idea.
The other thing that I wanted to mention before we left off is we mentioned this last week, but we started our Patreon. Several people have signed up for it. Thank you very much. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, so, 100%.
Yep. Just to again, like, reiterate off of what we said last week, this is basically just we're not going to stop giving out our free weekly podcast. We're going to continue to do that for the foreseeable future. So nothing will change to anyone that decides that they don't want to, donate to us right now. So that's, totally fine. It's your prerogative whether you want to do that or not. But we are giving the option for people who feel that they want to give something back to us for the many hours of free entertainment that we've provided over the years, that now there's an option. And again, the goal for this was to essentially try and provide some sort of reimbursement for our editors, because it is a big pain in the butt every week for our editors to have to spend all this time out of their week to get the podcast posted and posted in a timely manner, which has been an issue in the last couple of weeks. So we're trying to get everything back on track and getting everything good to go. And then once we kind of find our stride, which I think will happen very, very quickly, we're going to expand the Patreon and try and offer some additional incentives. And right now we just have like a single $1, donate $1 or more if you feel like it, and we appreciate your donation. And that's all it is. It's just a small donation. You don't really get anything. But we're hoping to expand it out soon and actually start providing real backer levels and actual tangible rewards.
What's what's the dollar amount for us to go back to 3 episodes a week?
I don't know, a lot. Like, I'm just going to throw out a number, $2,000 a month.
All right.
I don't really want to do that. So, but hey, if we can all make some good money from it, sure. If you can make it worth our while, I guess.
Yeah, for about $2,000 a month, we could go back to 3 a week.
Sure, yeah. 3 full episodes a week, let's say.
Ooh, no. that's not what I said.
And we're hoping to, like I said, as we reach our rewards, like the first reward we have up right now, I can't remember what it's at. I think it's like $200. If we get to there, then we'll try and get the editing done early every week so that we'll release the pre-ramble, which I know is like a tiny incentive. But I couldn't really think of anything, and I needed to post it up.
We may give early access to the podcast.
Yeah, so that's something that we were throwing around the idea of, like, if we get to, like, a $400 or $500, like, we might give up, like, because at that point we'll have, like, a much more incentive for our editors to actually, like, take time doing it and do it,
quickly and efficiently.
Yes, exactly. Quickly and efficiently. So at that point, like, we can maybe even, like, say that, hey, yeah, we'll give the podcast up for early access on, Tuesdays for our backers of a certain level. Or we might eventually be putting up things like premium content, podcasts like Nigel movie reviews, or Chad and Keith and Crump talk about their Overwatch exploits for
$500 to bring
30 minutes or whatever. So like I said, we're working on that right now. I know it's still very bare bones, but we do super appreciate everyone that has donated to it, and it's been pretty exciting. Yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Muse on Minis. This has been John,
Nigel,
Chad,
Crump,
and Keith. Take care.
Joey's favorite character is May, and he's pretty good at playing her, but only with self-interest. So like he will put up walls whenever it's convenient for him. And so there'll be times where like I'm literally chasing somebody down and they're like one shot away from death, and Joey will put up a wall and save their life. And I'm like, "Joey, no, God, bad Joey. Like, stop doing that." Mm-hmm. And there was literally a time where I went to shoot someone with Farrah and he put a Rockwell up 1 foot in front of me, so I killed myself because she does blast damage. Yeah. So she blasts herself. Yep. I was like, Joey,
I literally could not play.
Oh!
I would be like, Joey, if you do that one more time, I'm never ever playing with you again. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
that stuff drives me insane. I was playing this is a mild thing, but I was playing with like a group of guys. I was getting like I was playing Mercy, and I got down to like low-ish health, and they were coming around the corner.
Yeah,
and then there was a Widowmaker like up on this like high up ledge,
like their like, enemy,
a friendly Widowmaker on this high up ledge nearby, like sniping down on them. And when they saw them coming around the corner, they started running away. And I'm like, no, come to the ledge, because I needed to like if Mercy sees like a glimpse of anyone, she can
fly to them,
like basically fly to them. But if she can't see them, then she's just like stuck on the ground.
Yeah.
And he's just like, no, like, they're going to kill me. And I'm like, I'm your healer. Like, I'll heal you. He's like, I'm low health. Like, I need to run. I'm like, I'll heal you. Like, I need someone to teleport away. And he's just like, I look out for myself first. And I look out for no one else second. And I'm just like, I got so rage mode. I was
just
like,
stop healing.
Oh!
My rage modes with Mercy come when I'm, like, attached to someone and healing them. And, like, they get hurt, but they're fine. Like, I've got them. No problem. And then I get nailed, and I'm like, oh, Jesus. And they start running away. And, like, the person I'm healing starts running as well. And there's a health pack, and I'm healing them. And I need the health pack. And they grab the health pack.
Yeah.
That's got to be me every time. I'm an indiscriminate health pack grabber.
That's why the Mercy-Lucio combo is so awesome. Because, like, she just, like, her capability to, like, spot heal someone... Like, if someone's, like, you know, if there's a Reinhardt down to, like, 50 HP and she's just like, I got you. But then, like, Lucio's ability to just, like, keep everyone topped off and, like, healed, like, constantly. Like, oh, it's such a good combo. And then her ulti, like, their ulties, like, combo each other really well, too.
Yeah, I've had a lot of success with Mercy anytime that the team has good cohesion. When the team starts getting badly split up and people are not paying attention, it's the absolute worst. Because you're like, I need to fly to you. Oh, I can't see you.
That might be...
Oh, I just died.
That might be why the support character that I've enjoyed playing the most is Zenyatta.
Can you play, like, six Lucios and just, like, be die and...
Yeah, you can do that. It's obnoxious, but usually gets beat. But, Keith, was that you that was... Were you playing last night when I was playing Farrah?
What were you doing last night as Farrah?
I was Farrah, and somebody was playing Mercy, and then she was just... I was kiting her around, like, so I was constantly in flight, and she was constantly right behind me in flight, because she was, you know, shifting to me. So yeah. It was, like, it was totally awesome. It was kind of cool.
No, it wasn't me. Yeah, but
that is my favorite
sweet thing
to do, by the way, as Mercy, is to just, like, find a Farrah and just attach yourself to them.
Mm-hmm.
It's so fun for... Because, like, all of the characters have these, like, mobility options. But Mercy's, like, seem really lame when you, like, look at them. It's, like, one of them is she just gets to... If she sees someone, she can just, like, zoom straight to them, like, fly to them. And then the other one is when she's holding down her jump button, she falls, like, slower. Like, she kind of glides down instead of just, like, falling.
And she has the dirtiest walking speed.
Yeah, she's super...
I think of any character.
So, but, like, it's awesome because Farrah's got these giant, like, jetpack jump jets. And she'll just, like, go way up into the air. And then her, like, mobility option is when she... is, like, in the air from either jumping or, like, having, like, regularly jumping or, like, using these jump jets. She can kind of, like, hover up, like, for, like, 2 seconds or whatever. And you can keep just holding it down once it depletes. So it'll, like, go, like, psh, psh, psh. So she just kind of slowly, you know, she'll go, like, way up above you and then just kind of slowly, like, hover down, like, while she's shooting rockets at people. And as Mercy, you can, like, just follow her the entire way because you just fall slowly. And if you get down, like, her, like, little, like, fly to you move is only like on a 2 second cooldown, so you can just like keep like flying back. It's so awesome. It's really, really fun.
Yep.
Yeah, when your whole team's good about staying in your vision, she can just be all over the place healing everyone, and it's amazing. And her ultimate generates really quickly when your team is taking non-lethal but lots of damage, and then her ultimate completely ruins team fights.
Yeah.
What's her ultimate do?
It just resurrects everybody that's dead, like where they were.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
So the enemy team blows their whole load to kill your team, and you're like, alt undo.
Heroes never die.
Yeah, four of your alts gone for mine, and mine charges faster than yours.
Seems fair.
Yeah. There's a a lot of ways to take.
I mean, you just kill Mercy first. It's just tough because if she's good, like she's like always hiding.
It's just kind of funny that like the Angel character and then the Grim Reaper are like counters to one another.
It's like I can't play Mercy for some reason. I think it's just because I spent by far my highest played class on TF2 was Medic, and Mercy is very similar to the Medic in a lot of ways, but the ways that she's different are extremely significant. Like the Medic is the second fastest character in TF2. And Mercy is, like we said, like one of the slowest. And then, like, the Medic, like, can hold his own in a fight. Like, he's actually, like, fairly difficult to kill because his ulti was... I mean, the characters didn't have ultimates in that game, but, like, his like the whole shtick with the heal gun was that it built up an uber charge over a period of time. And then once the uber charge was charged, you could deplete it. And it would make himself invulnerable and whoever he was healing invulnerable for, like, 15 seconds or 10 seconds or something like that. Like, not very long.
That seems like a long time.
It is. I guess it is a long time in those games. Because, like, he was so much more... He was faster and just, like, more difficult to kill than she was. And those two things, like, are just so significant. Like, she just... Every time I play her, like, I don't have the instinct to, like, hide as much as other people do, as much as you should when you're playing as her. Because as a Medic, like, you can just kind of, like, be out there and, like, soak a couple of hits and then use your natural sort of regen to, like, regen it. And
do you... If you die a lot, does it help the other team a lot? Other than you not being in the fight, do you get money or bonuses?
I mean, nothing like that. It's just, but it is a team game, and so if one character is just dead like all the time, then it's a huge, huge, huge win.
And doing damage and getting kills charges people's alts, so they can sort of snowball on you that way.
I'm just trying to gauge like how big of a liability I'll be.
Mercy's slow because she wears high heels.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's always Torbjorn.
But that guy's not very good on attack, so.
He's pretty good on attack.
If you can set up your turret on a payload, it's fine.
And then the turret, like, never die. Because heroes never die, but turrets die all the time.
Turrets do die. Yeah, Torbjorn's all about tactical play more than skillful play. You just have to know the maps and set up your turrets in good spots.
Yep.
Yeah, he just sets up a turret somewhere, and then the turret just auto-aims and, like, has infinite range and just shoots.
So, I suppose... After you've played the game some and know all the maps, know where all the choke points are. And
There's probably even like guides at this point in time since the game's been in beta and you know released for so long that people are just like, here's all of the best places to put turrets, like as Torbjorn, you know, and on all of the maps. Hmm. I assume that there's one of those. If not, like...
Are the turrets 360 or do you have to face them in a certain way?
They are 360, but I think they take a little while to turn around.
But I mean, if you get it in the right spot, then it's...
Yeah. Then he's got like a little crappy pistol that he can shoot. It's like it shoots like little like molten slag that like kind of have a drop or whatever. So it's pretty tough to aim.
But it has a shotgun mode.
It does.
Oh, I
hate
shotgun.
That shotgun mode.
Yep.
This sounds like the guy for me.
Yeah, you just right click and shotgun.
I can play shotguns in those games because I just have to get close and sort of get in the area and you blow people away.
The problem with the shotgun theory is that he'll have to have his hammer out. Which is, he builds it, and then he has to pound on his thing to make it, like, a level 2. Yeah. And he can also repair it. So you're, like, furiously trying to repair it from, like, I'll, like, put it outside the gas station, but I'll be inside the gas station so they can't see me. And I'll be repairing it out of line of sight. And then, so you're furiously doing that, but then you get overrun by, like, Reaper will come in there, and he'll be like, die, die, die. And then you're like, ah!
And you go to club him with a hammer.
You go club him with a hammer, you're like, you're not repairing! Ah! And I can't roller mouse when I'm stressed. Yeah, it's, like, super tilting. Anybody that has ultimate, like, alternate gun modes just piss me off.
There's a lot of characters that can like teleport or like climb up walls and like so you'll be in like the gas station like Nigel said and you'll be like they can't get me in here and then there's a character that can literally just like climb up walls where normally everyone's stuck on the ground so he'll just like you know climb up the wall of the gas station and run into the back door and then just gank you in the back like
or there's a character that has a teleport it's like a 2 second channel and then they teleport to a location the most fun
so if he can get line of sight to an area that's behind you he's just like bloop.
Is that the Reaper?
Yeah.
The most fun game that I have had was with Colin, myself, Joey, I think Scott. I don't know. There were six of us, and we all played Reapers on Hanamura. Because we had, in the previous round, had, like, this team that was, I think, like, we just went stupid, and we were like, screw it, because that map has particularly bad choke points.
Yeah.
Two of them, actually. The first one being the most egregious because it's just that giant door and there's only the door or the window and they're basically in the same field of fire. So we had the team, two Reinhardts, two Bastions, two Mercies. And so the like Reinhardts just sat there and then the Bastions got like turbo damaged and then no one made it through any hole. And we were just like, Wait, like, we just stomped them. They're probably going to do that because if you defend first, then you attack the next round. And we're just like, they're going to do that. This is, what are we doing? I'm like, Reapers for days. And they're like, yeah, screw it. And then so the five of us did it. And there was a sixth rando. And then he saw all of us sign up as Reapers. And he, like, was a mercy or something. And we're like, come on, dude, change. Be the guy. Be it. Do it. Do it. And then after us, like, peer pressuring him through the void, because he couldn't hear us, obviously, it worked. Yeah. And then we won the match in under 2 minutes. We steamroll into the first one, like, super quick. They literally have, like, no idea what's going on. And we get to the second one, and we're all, like, in there, but they've kind of stalled us at this point. And it's still really early in the game, so we have, like, 7 minutes to capture the second zone. But, like, we've stagnated and we can't get any further. And we're like, oh, God, like, this blows. And I'm just like, wait, what's everybody's super status at? And then we're like, yeah, like 97%. Like, mine's good. I'm like, all right, we'll just wait until everyone's super is up. And then we'll just Wraith walk into the zone and pop our supers at the same time. And it's just die. And just everyone evaporated in under a second. God. And then, like, the zone just insta-scored. It was so fun. Holy crap. Like, the entire match, we were just laughing at how stupid the strategy was, but we're just walking around, like, chasing people down with two shotguns, and they're just, like, running around and have no idea what's going on. It was so good. It was so fun.
My story is not as good as that, but there was a time in the beta. People are complaining about how, like, no skill like Bastion is right now.
Mm-hmm.
But in the beta, he had a directional shield that had, like, infinite HP.
Yeah.
Like, so it's just, if he was taking damage from the front, basically, like, it just ignored it. Like, it would just hit the shield and just, like, bounce off. But then the downside was he only had, like, a small field of
fire.
Yeah, he couldn't, like, turn her all the way around like he can now. But, yeah, there was this time in the beta where we were playing on Hanamura, and we were defending, and they were just, like, some random guy was just like, don't do this. We're not going to do this for the entire round, but I just want everyone to go Bastion, and we'll just do that until we lose. until we die, and then we'll switch.
Yeah.
And we just won.
Yeah.
Like, we just held it the entire time.
It was so great, because after that six Reaper match, like, Joey wanted to do that with, like, other characters. He's like, let's do it with, like, six Mays this time, and then we did it.
That sounds awful.
And it was terrible, because we were like, it's going to be sweet. We're just going to constantly build, like, ice walls at the beginning zone so, like, no one can leave the entryways. And
nobody would ever die, though.
What? Like, no, we just built ice walls so they couldn't, like, go to the payload for, like, forever. And I'm like, Joey, this plan's terrible. And then the plan fell apart. It worked for, like, 30 seconds. He's like, see, Nick, this is a great idea. And then, like, someone forgot to build the wall one time, and then it just broke through. And we're like, oh, God, this is terrible. Like, we're just running around like crazy. And Joey's like, no, stick to the plan. I'm like, they broke through our lines. We're done. And, like, my brother and I immediately switched. To, like,
there's no maps that have a single...
No, but, like,
to...
people are dumb, and they, like, always come out of the same one. Like,
yeah, but once there was an ice in front of it for 30 seconds, I'd be like, let's go to a different doorway.
Right.
And then it would be like, GG!
Yeah, basically that's what happened. And then, we were like, we're never doing that again, Joey. But we've done maps where we had, like, six Torbjorns or Torbjorns or whatever
Torbjorn.
His name. And, like, that was fun for, like, 5 minutes. And then they, like, destroyed one of our turrets, and it was all over.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Five monkeys.
Fortunately, the
good.
Game is well enough designed that if you're playing six of the same character, it is not very good.
I mean, yes. Six Reapers. Agreed. Six Reapers on Hanamura is unstoppable.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Until you play against an actual good team, and then you're going to get destroyed.
Triggering six dies at the same time was pretty amazing.
Okay. Probably only need to trigger three. I probably would have staggered, like, 3 and 3.
Yeah.
Staggered it. So when they come back, to have the other guys pop theirs.
Reaper?
It's been a really good time, though. You losers
like you
are playing it on the wrong platform.
Eh.
What are you guys playing on?
Playing it on the one I own.
PC.
PC for me, yeah.
Oh, cool. Then I can play with you guys.
Nice.
Yep.
Maybe.
I played with Trevor.
I don't think I could play with Joey. Like,
it's fun. It's actually super
seeing
fun.
Seeing him every time I see him talk about the game, I'm like, I'm not sure you're playing the same game as me, Joey.
No,
like,
it's amazing.
Doesn't Joey just, like, call in times 9/11, basically?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that means.
Oh, he just likes what he likes.
Yeah. He's just exuberant and fun. And
he talks a big game. Colin
doesn't do that, but
it's legit.
Colin totally does that.
Not
What are you talking about?
I like when we were playing HOTS, and then Colin would play like Diablo, and you'd hear him, ha ha, because he'd like choke slam somebody into the, you know, the middle of our team or whatever, and we'd kill Evan. And I don't know, Colin's exuberance is amazing.
That's Colin. True. Colin has had some amazing moments in the games though so far, which like should be play of the games, but they're not. So like one time, I can't. It's like Nepal, and it's one of the king. It's the King of the Hill map where you're just stuck in a building. There's like one square building with two entries on the sides, and you're stuck in it. And we're all in there. And then a diva like nerfs this and sends in a robot to like blow us all up. And we're like, oh god, get behind something. And the cult's like, I've got this. And then as Reinhardt like shoulder charges the robot, and it like just takes
move,
it
by the way.
Out of the zone, and he's like, I've got you guys, and he just like blows up, kills himself, and then the rest of us just live and are perfectly fine. Yeah. And I was like, that works? That's amazing.
That's a pro move.
Colin had no idea if it would actually work or not at the time.
You can also just put up the Reinhardt shield and that'll also soak the explosion.
Yeah, but that was way cooler.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think he actually took D.Va down with it too, because the like you'll kill like D.Va can blow herself up.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It will kill D.Va.
So unfortunately, it won't kill anyone else on their team, which is lame. Be sweet if you just, like, Reinhardt shoulder charge, like, she's like, nerf this, and then Reinhardt just shoulder charges it back into their team and kills them all.
That'd be pretty amazing.
That would be pretty great.
All right, well, should we do a podcast or what?